so important, Paul receives a direct revelation from heaven concerning it. He says, I have received of the Lord. He didn't know the Lord upon earth. He got four special revelations: the gospel, the assembly, the Lord's Supper, and what we call the rapture. Four special revelations concerning those things. And here it is in our scriptures. Because they knew nothing about rapture. They knew about the glorious appearing in the Old Testament. And that's what it referred to. But here's a special thing. And the word clouds doesn't mean physical clouds. It means clouds of people. Because it's a morning without clouds. Some golden daybreak we sing sometimes.
Yeah, this I say unto you by the word of the Lord is again distinguishing the Christian truth, New Testament truth, the heavenly hope as it has been termed, from the Old Testament expectation. And there's another indication in John 12 as to this event where the Lord Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name, John 12:28. Then came there a voice from heaven. Now we're talking about the shout, the voice of an archangel, trump of God. Here there was a voice from heaven. The people that stood by, they heard it, and they said, oh, it thundered. Others said an angel spake to them. So they had their explanation then. It didn't mean very much to the people on earth. No doubt when the Lord comes to take us on to be with himself, people will have their explanations, but they won't really know what's happened. They'll probably have some scientific theory or speak about UFOs or some idea.
I was just wondering also, not to lose sight, that the Lord, when he comes for his own, even as 1 Thessalonians, as we were talking, the historical event of it, that he will come in love and also in power. There is the power of the greatness of who he is will be displayed universally. We have heard not only the power toward his saints, where they shall be raised, right? And we shall be changed. But the power of the display of Christ in the domain of the enemy. The Lord will never take his own apart from being meeting him in the air. It's the very domain of Satan himself. And as if the Lord Jesus, when he comes for his own in love, because the Lord himself, that's the motive in his own heart, he loves his own, but also he will display his greatest power in the very domain of Satan. That not even one soul that I have secured, he is with me, she is with me, and I'm bringing them to the Father's house, if you will. So how wonderful to see that the Lord yet displays love, but also in his coming for his own, he will display the greatness of his person and power.
And it really is a voice of the Lord. And again, this is again to warm our heart. Mm-hmm. John, you always say that if you are lost, I'm just quoting you because you said that before. If you are lost in a mall or you are in a big crowd, if you are a very big crowd, and somebody call your name, you will turn. You will turn. It will be noise everywhere. It will be all kinds. But somebody say your name, you will turn. You will find somehow you got that. You heard that. Imagine the Lord. Nobody's going to hear that voice. But he's going to call each and every one of us. Every one of us will hear his name or her name called by the Lord. The Lord himself. The voice of the Lord. That's going to call us. And we will hear that voice. And again, second thing is, we will meet the Lord in the air. Mm-hmm. And that is a thrilling thing to me. Because that's the domain of Satan. Right in his own territory. And he will, no power he has. He's going to be able to stop any of us. Any of us from going through his territory. And when the children of Israel were going, wanted to cross the land, the kings of Moab, these kings, he said, I just go through the king's highway, I will buy. And he said, no, don't pass by my way. And they have to turn around. Let me tell you something, this time, there will be no detour, and there will be no shortcuts, and there will be none of that. We are going right in his territory, and he will be trembling, and he cannot do anything about it. We are going to meet the Lord in the air. But the beautiful thing is this, we'll hear the voice of the Lord. And shall we hear that voice? Thy heavenly voice. And shall we see thy face and hear thy heavenly voice?
Amen. Amen. Brother Neil, you had mentioned in verse 16, just to help us out here, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and this is the thing, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. You went through some things pretty fast over those three points. Could you help me with that a little bit, please?
More slowly.
Or others?
More slowly.
Do it slowly. Okay. Or others. I mean, just you on the spot.
Let me tell you what. Let me repeat what I said, and then let the other judge. I believe that the Lord himself was the shout, that this is uniquely for us, for his people in this dispensation, the church of God. I believe that the voice of the archangel has to do with Israel, the saints in Israel, because again, it was Michael the archangel, as we understand, because you have studied the book of Daniel, that has really to do with the children of Israel. So I believe that will be really connected with the saints that have fallen asleep, the Moses, the Aaron, the David, the Solomon, the children of Israel, the Josiah. I think that's what will be the voice of the archangel. But the trump of God will go to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think this is what it is. I stand to be corrected on my little other judge. Brother Hadley is smiling, so let me hear what you have to say.
No, I just give you a verse and let the others judge. John 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth there that have done good unto the resurrection of life, which is really what we're talking about. Mm-hmm.
So what is the archangel will be shouting about?
The archangel is, as you said, the Old Testament.
Okay.
Especially Israel.
Yes.
I wonder, too, if there's something about this matter. We talked a little bit about it, the change. In Philippians chapter 3, it refers to this change, and there it calls it a transformation. And that's a marvelous thing. You know, only he can do this. Only God can do this. Because to transform is the word metamorphosis. It's a complete change. It's not just putting on a new set of clothes. It's a complete change of what if you see it in a creature like the monarch butterfly, that's my favorite one. You know, the monarch butterfly, before it's a butterfly, was a little worm, little grub, caterpillar that ate poison. It eats milkweed. And so it has teeth, and it eats the leaves of the milkweed plant. And so it's feeding on death. Isn't that what we were? Before we were saved, didn't we feed on death? We thought it fed on dead things. And yet, the Lord, we read in Romans 12 about transforming our mind. And that's what he's doing now. He's changing us by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, so we now desire to feed on heavenly things, on Christ. But when that day takes place, when the Lord in power descends from heaven, catches us up, transforms us, he's not only going to change our mind, he's going to change our bodies. And he's going to transform them completely so that we now have a body that is completely suited for heavenly scenes. Now our appetite's being suited. But then our whole being will be completely suited for the glory. And it'll be a body like unto his own body of glory. What a marvelous thing. We would be glad. I mean, as sinners saved by the grace of God, we would be thankful to have a seat outside the door. But he's going to suit us so that we can be inside, enjoying the Father's house, enjoying the presence of divine persons for eternity. That is a glorious prospect.